and then started working on trying to get my Belize medical license. And it took a long time for medical counsel to meet with me. In Belize, the medical counsel is a set of seven people, and they decide who will be allowed to get a medical license.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's not like in the U.S. where you sit, you do your boards,
right.
and it's an automatic thing. It's not that way here.
So it's very personal, really. So
yes, yes.
You have to go in front of the seven people.
Yes.
Interesting, because we have had people ask before if they can continue their practice here.
No, and one of the requirements is that you have to be Belizean.
Yes. Yep. I did remember hearing that. And that's for nursing as well?
No.
As
nursing? No.
Different.
Nursing's different because that falls under nursing council.
Got it.
And medical council, it's Belize Medical and Dental Association.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So you've got, and the thing is that, you know, in Belize, we're young. And so we're only 42 years old. Mm-hmm. The Medical Act just got renewed or revised in 2014.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Up until that period of time, people actually weren't required to register every year.
Oh, wow.
And there were no requirements for CMEs or anything.
CME is continuing education?
Continuing medical education. And so now they've really worked hard on, you know, getting, you know, the credits, you know, so that we're continually learning and not staying stagnant. And you know, developing what do we do with doctors who may not be doing what they're supposed to, because there's restrictions. It falls under medical counsel, but the medical counsel has the right to look into things, but there's really no power to do any type of penalty.
Right.
It's not, so they're really starting new grounds, and it's really, and they're working hard, and it's really great to see the progress that has happened over the years. Mm-hmm. And they're doing more oversights and more peer reviews and that type of thing. So they're talking more. We have a medical congress every year. And so the topics this year included things like malpractice and, you know, new practices, and they bring people in from the outside as well as locally, because, you know, especially on the island, and for me, I'm the only person at my clinic. So to be able to get out to do these things,
right.
It's not easy, because they have to fully get somebody to come in to cover me. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to be able to see the other people that are out there. I've been a part of the Medical and Dental Association since 2012. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we are about 100 and maybe 200 members, and there's 400 and some doctors. So, you know, I get to know them, you know, through the conversations there. But otherwise, I have to go with, you know, who I've met while I was at Carl Huesner, and who I've met, you know, just through the years. Mm-hmm. So I don't know all the specialists. It's word of mouth on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sorry I interrupted you there.
That's
I was
okay.
Just curious. So there was the board of seven people. You had to approach them. They said, mm-hmm. Yes, we like you. We're going to give you your... No.
Oh, no.
That would be a little too easy. Huh?
No, in fact, it took a lot of years. And I would call the secretary every Friday, and she'd say, oh, you know, they haven't, or, well, they're going to talk, you know, in the next meeting. And it was a struggle, you know, because I didn't fit in the box. Here I am. I'm a naturalized Belizean. Mm-hmm. I went to school and see American University of Caribbean had a charter in Belize because they had to.
Right.
So I went to school in Belize that was recognized by Belize.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and they had eventually they had to see me, because I finally just told the secretary, well, you better tell them I'm not going anywhere and I'm going to keep coming back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I finally was granted a meeting, and they said, well, in your clinical attachments and your education, you only did 6 weeks of pediatrics and 6 weeks of obstetrics. We require 12. So you need to do observation for those, mm-hmm. and you're going to need to pay for it. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. So I had to find a place to live in Belize City. And then my now current husband, Dave, became a single dad because I wasn't going to move my son and daughter to the city. And so I did the observation, and they said, okay, now you have to wait until there's an opening in the internship program. And you'll have to do the internship program, and so that's a year, and you'll have to pay for it. So I'm the only Belizean who's ever had to pay for the internship program. And then, you know, I did the whole thing, and they kept saying, are you sure? Because you're really old, you know? Because I was like 40, I think 42, 43 at the time. And they're like, you really think you can keep up with these kids? I'm like, yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's like, you know, I've been in the medical field for a little bit. Yeah.
But, you know, I've been out of practice. I hadn't practiced,
right?
You know, so I didn't mind at all having to do that time there. And I it really pushed me to learn everything about everything, because that's how I am when I jump into things. Is I don't want to know just I want to know what everybody does. Right. And then also when I was there, I'd always make sure I found out when anybody from San Pedro came, you know, the ER docs knew, hey, they come, tell Sersling because she wants to know, because I would follow up with them then on the wards and stuff, because I know how hard it is to come from the island and you're there, you don't have anyone there. So how do you get your water? How do you, who do you have to advocate for you? Mm-hmm. Because in a government hospital, you have to have an advocate. Otherwise, you can get overlooked. It's just a fact. Mm-hmm. They're overstaffed. They don't have the resources. They don't have the supplies they need. So they're really overwhelmed. So unless you've got somebody to advocate for you, things can fall through the cracks. Mm-hmm. So I made a lot of contacts then during that time to be able to see what physicians did different things and, mm-hmm. you know, really learn what specialists want and what are they looking for. So I have a better insight of when I'm reviewing a patient, what are the things that I need to be able to say, okay, this one needs to go here, this one needs to go, this guy does this better, mm-hmm. this gal does this better, you know. Mm-hmm. So each specialist has their little niche as well as of the different things that they are good at.
Right, sure, that makes sense, yep.
So that was really, really helpful for me. And then I came back. I worked with Dr. Lerida for a while. And then when they opened the government clinic 24/7, then I was able to get on there.
Mm-hmm. This one here, polyclinic?
The polyclinic, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that with government, as a civil servant, you have to retire at 55.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting.
You have to retire at 55. Mm-hmm. After that, you can still work, but you're on contract. Mm-hmm. So I would have been like 6 months short of getting 10 years in.
Oh my gosh.
So when Belize Medical Associates were going to open, I applied, mm-hmm. and they asked me, you know, why are you leaving government? And I said, well, it's actually a good career move for me because mm-hmm. because I'm 55 now, I would have had to retire. I said, this seems more continuity for me to be able to continue my clinical experience. And then, of course, I got to know the specialists there. And then when they didn't renew their contract, then Mr. Feinstein took over the clinic. And so, again, reaching out and getting different specialists to come. And so I've got people on speed dial. I can say, hey, you know, I've got this. Would it go to you or would it go to so-and-so?
Right.
So I feel comfortable and confident in knowing how to handle emergency cases and getting them over to the proper person on the mainland. And I think that's a big concern for a lot of expats. What happens if I have a heart attack in the middle of the night? Well, okay, we stabilize you, and I call my guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I should be saying names or not. And then they say, okay, do this, this, this. Okay, good. Stabilize, watch them, get them over.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I know too, because I've gone to that clinic for multiple things, right? Dermatology. I had my son go and see the pediatrician there, right? I've seen you before for when we were feeling sick and had no idea what to take. And it really is impressive. And I remember last time we were in there, maybe about a month ago, you had just seen a fellow, I don't know who it was, right? But he was standing at the counter paying, and he's like, she is such a great doctor. She just saved me. And I know you're very humble, so you probably don't even want me saying that, but it was just so great to hear somebody who is so happy with their medical services and medical care here in Belize. And so I think the fact that you were able to push through all of that pushback and have a clinic now that you are doing great at and bringing in the right people and doing everything. It's been really impressive to see. And I appreciate all of the hard work and all of that you've done, because for a lot of people here in Belize, you know, when you've tried to accomplish something, there are a lot of roadblocks,
Oh, a lot of roadblocks.
Yeah. And the fact that you've been able to get through them is incredible.
My father was Swedish and my mother was half German and half Dutch, and they would argue all the time about who's more stubborn. So I think I've got the good stubbornness from all of that.
Persistent.
No, and that's true, because from a local perspective, when the reality of the matter is, when we locals need to go to the doctor, right? Mm-hmm. We try not to go until we really need to. And for me, just going to a public health facility, it just, I don't know, there's just something about it that I just don't like. I guess maybe that's my outlook at it. But I remember going to Dr. Renee recently for stuff, and it's just that, you know, when you go to the doctor, you feel like this anxiousness or this nervousness of whatever issue you have. Mm-hmm. It's like she was very genuinely, like, it made you feel like she was genuinely empathetic about what was going on. And the care that I got, it was really great. I mean, I've never had to go for like real serious stuff, but I would imagine, like you said, that and someone else who probably had more serious, I can see how Dr. Renee was very empathetic and very great at what she did on that.